CBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump marked the first day of his second term with a blizzard of executive orders, but it was a pardon for every person charged on January 6th that made the most immediate impact. Asked about pardoning people who were charged with assaulting law enforcement on that day, the president told reporters,
"Been in jail for a long time already. I see murderers in this country get 2 years, 1 year, and maybe no time. So they've already been in jail for a long time. These people have been destroyed."
Other executive actions included declaring a national emergency at the southern border and ending birthright citizenship, but that's considered a constitutional guarantee. It's already prompted two lawsuits. A second straight day of dangerous winds expected in Southern California, prompting a second day of major fire warnings. For tens of millions more, it's dangerous cold, snow in the south. Both major Houston airports closed today. And Ohio State beat Notre Dame to win college football's national championship 34-23. This is ABC News. Some of the most popular weight loss drugs around, including Ozempic and Wegovy, could help with all sorts of issues, says ABC's Rihanna and Ali.
The study found the drugs, approved by the FDA to treat obesity and diabetes, also reduce the risk for pneumonia, sepsis, infections, blood clotting, and liver cancer, to name a few. But researchers also found the drugs carried risks, including for gastrointestinal side effects, kidney stones, and inflammation of the kidneys and pancreas.
Federal investigators are stepping up a probe into reports of collisions involving Ford's hands-free driving technology. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says there were two deadly crashes last year involving vehicles using the Blue Cruise technology. This morning in London, opening statements in a trial pitting Prince Harry against British tabloids. He's suing Rupert Murdoch's papers, accusing them of illegally gathering sensitive information. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, WGBW.fm.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days.
Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Plus, when did Republicans embrace rule by executive order? We dive in with John Nichols from the Cap Times and Nation Magazine. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be bitterly cold again today. Temperatures will hang in the single digits below zero here all day long, but things will get better. Temperatures are going to rise tonight. A little light snow overnight tonight, and then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with temps climbing back into the upper teens by tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 9 below.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103.
Yes.
Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ingram.
How will the incoming presidential administration impact you? We'll discuss with Sandy Williams following Monday's inauguration on Donald Trump.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Zone.
Well, there is a lot of moaning and groaning going on across the state of Wisconsin this morning. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about equipment. Welcome in. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke, and boy, oh boy, I know that it's going to be a long day for Wisconsin agriculture and a whole lot of folks that are still getting their job done with this sub-zero weather. And let's not take it lightly. It's dangerous out there this morning. Not going to improve a whole lot. Sunshine today, but it's deceptive. Daytime highs today, no better than 2 above. Then factor in the winds out of the west around 10 miles an hour, and our wind chill values will plummet to minus 20 to minus 30 degrees. So dangerous. That's why a lot of kids are staying home from school today. Then tonight, we do have a chance of some snow flurries building into Wednesday morning. Overnight lows, again, dangerous because our wind chills will still be minus 10 to minus 15. Tomorrow, snow is likely, but probably before noon. Cloudy skies otherwise. Daytime highs tomorrow considerably improved, 22 the expected high, but we'll still feel a wind chill. Then on Thursday, sunshine and 17. Friday, sunshine and 20 degrees. We'll be back to freezing, hopefully, by Saturday. Only in Wisconsin does freezing sound like a real warm-up. Stumacher, ag meteorologist on the way. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is going to chime in on some of the early market reaction to Inauguration Monday. And we're also focused in on Inauguration Monday that essentially ushered out the second term as ag secretary at the U.S. Department of Agriculture for Tom Vilsack. We'll catch some thoughts for him as he headed for the door as well on a Tuesday. Just stop and listen to these great details on our next farm tour. Hi, everybody. I'm PM Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th as we head to the Canadian Rockies, Vancouver, Victoria, as well as agricultural highlights. We'll start in Calgary and visit their expansive Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour and meet a Mountie. Next, we board a via rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Once we arrive in Vancouver, we'll enjoy award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery and also take a ferry to Vancouver Island for a stroll through Bouchard Gardens. We'll learn about farming life on the island during fascinating visits to a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show. Again, July 26th through August 4th, join me for our next tour of the Canadian Rockies.
Dairy farmers have long relied on sand bedding for their cows, and for good reason. Sand bedding provides crucial comfort and traction for dairy cows, especially as they move in and out of stalls. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And according to Renee Schrift, Global Director of Sales for Agricultural Systems at McClanahan Corporation, choosing the right sand makes all the difference for keeping cows happy and healthy.
So sand bedding allows the cows to get in and out of the stall, and it provides them traction, cushion. They're large animals getting in and out of the stall. They need something that is going to accept their weight, give them an area where they can lie down. Their udder is in a good place as far as like clean bedding that drains well, just to keep them cleaner and drier. So sand bedding, we always said it's the golden standard. You know, as far as that udder and where she's lying down, you want something that doesn't have a lot of bacteria in it to begin with. The cows are going to bring in and trail in bacteria and organics and moisture into the stall anyway, but you want to start out with something that's really low to give the udder a place that's going to stay dry and not wet. Sand, you want to make sure the sand drains well so it doesn't stick to the cow.
Well, and for those listening, it's not just like the sand you're going to at the beach. You know, it's a little bit different, but that is, in a sense, the beach for these cows. It's the same kind of concept. They're comfortable. You know, they're taking care of themselves. But what factors should farmers consider when selecting the grade of sand for their bedding?
The sand's different all across the United States. So there's lots of different sand types. But when a dairy producer is looking for a sand, like, locally to their farm, they're going to want to, first of all, they're probably looking at the economics. Like, how much does it cost for me to bring this sand in? How much is it going to cost per ton, per her yard, however they're going to buy that. But they also, the characteristic side of it, they need to look at something that's going to be loose, not really, really fine, not really, really coarse, because obviously the fine sand is going to pack, and when it gets wet, becomes a little bit more like concrete. You have fine sand, you got more water retained in that sand, you got moisture that gets trapped in there and organics, so it can get really hard in the stalls. The concrete type sands, or the sands that are a little looser, has a little bit more particle size differential, like that's going to give you more movement in the stall, and it's going to allow the water and any moisture those cows are bringing into the stall to drain better away from where the cow's lying. Sand, it can be like a, we work with sands that are like more of a mason sand, so there's a little bit more uniformity, but it's finer. Then we have sands that are more like a concrete grade sand. It's going to have a little bit more spectrum of particle sizes, but it's going to have that medium sized sand particle that's heavy enough that it's going to separate out well in a reclamation system. And then we have dairies that will also use really fine sand that has probably some more clay content or soil content in it, probably more of a bank run or river sand, they call it, more just a screened, and that can tend to pack too. So you got to really watch what you're buying. You got to look at the types of gradations that you're getting, and even I wouldn't even hesitate looking at the organics that come in with that new sand too, because you want that to be as low as possible.
And what does sand laden manure, how does that affect what type of grade of sand is needed for the farmer?
So a dairy that has sand bedding and obviously cows, you're going to have sand laden manure. So you're going to be scraping that off the alley. The manure is not really the any of the issue. It's really the sand and the specific gravity of that sand. So that's why we go back to know what kind of sand you're buying, know if it's going to have good settleable characteristics, so we're going to actually be able to reclaim that sand. Because once that sand's in that manure and you're putting it into a storage, the only way you're getting it back out is to go back into that storage and pull it out with, equipment, loaders, and have to haul. That's time consuming, lots of wear and tear, costs money. So if we can get a sand that if your goal is to separate sand, you want to make sure that sand is the right sand to pull out of your manure stream.
What are the ideal characteristics for that recycling and reuse, kind of like you talked about, that reclamation process?
Yeah. So the reclamation processes can vary. You have dairies out there that flush and use a lot of water to flush the manure. You have dairies that use vacuum tanks to vacuum the manure off the alleys. And then we have conventional dairies that just use alley scrapers or scrape with a tire scraper. Whatever that manure stream is coming to the system, that's what we determine what we need to get that sand out. So sand, like I said, the concrete sand is probably the best sand to look at. It's going to have the specific gravity to be able to move through the thicker water that we use, the processed water. It's going to separate out better. Separation right now in our industry is really important because we have a lot of dairymen that are working with digester developers. They're either in the phase of putting something in, they have something already, and if they want to stay on sand, that choice of sand bedding is really important.
How can farmers, I've got my sand I currently have. How do I compare that to what is going to be the optimal? Like, how do I know? Are there testing methods available to know, is mine working properly?
Really, what you need to do is, if you're questioning whether it's coarse enough or if it's too fine, either way, you need to have it sieved. And we put it through a series of screens, and it gives us a percentage of what each gradation, how much percentage is in each, in that sand spec. So that way we can determine if it's something that is worthwhile using and purchasing.
Implementing it is, better for the cows, it's better for the farmer, but it also helps with their operational costs and saving money there, correct?
Yes. So if you have a dairy that's 1,500 cows or more, and you're spending, let's just put a number out there, $250,000 of sand per year, and you're just buying that in and it's going to a storage, if you have a reclamation system, if you're able to reclaim 90% of that sand, you're recouping 90% of those sand purchases. And so that's where your ROI starts to kick into gear, and you can start analyzing what it really will do for your farm to separate sand. I think the one challenge that we have today is constantly evaluating how much sand makes its way to a digester. That's the big conversation today. Dairies want to stay on sand bedding. They like that model. They like what it does for their herd, the low somatic cell counts. It's really good from a management tool in the barn for cows walking, to and from the parlor. Gives them traction, gives them comfort, obviously, in the stall. It's cool in the summer. It's a great bedding all around. But if they want to stay on that sand and they want to put something in and work with somebody on a digester, how do we keep that sand and as my model, but also keep it out of my digester. So McClanahan is constantly trying to improve what we're doing by testing, putting new our product line out there, revamping our product line, so that way we can target that really fine sand. Because like I said, dairies across the country are all going to use sand that's different. Not there's no sand's not created equal. It's not the same sand that every dairy is going to use. They're going to find something that is affordable for them to buy and purchase, and we just try to work around that.
With the right bedding choices and efficient management, dairy farms can achieve greater comfort for their cows while improving their operations. As Renee Schrift, Global Director of Sales for Agricultural Systems at McClanahan Corporation, explains, small adjustments can make a big impact, benefiting both the animals and the farmer's bottom line. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New presidents often use day one executive orders to move their policy agendas forward. What are the different kinds of presidential orders? What are their limitations? And why do presidents use them? Since John F. Kennedy, presidents have averaged 269 executive orders over their terms. Since 1907, each order receives a number and all are cataloged at the National Archives. There are three different kinds of orders, according to Dr. Bert Rockman of Purdue University. Executive orders are written orders, usually on more weighty issues such as national emergencies or setting uniform policy for government action. Written presidential memoranda authorize or freeze projects, share official positions with Congress, outline treaties in international affairs, and other policy matters. Memoranda are not required to be published or public. A third type are proclamations, such as a proclamation celebrating Juneteenth. Pardons and clemency are not executive orders, but rather a separate power granted by the Constitution. Gridlock resulting from the failure of Congress to compromise on legislation often stimulates presidents to use more executive orders as presidents struggle to move their policies forward. But executive orders can also be blocked by Congress or court review, as President Trump found out in his first term Muslim ban. Find more in the history of presidential orders at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you
yes.
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Tuesday's show, we'll welcome Jack Swanson from Guitars for Vets and Kim Massey from Wild Goose Exchange.
And Greg Vadney joins us from the Rahr West Museum in Manitowoc. They're celebrating their 75th anniversary.
Join us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Also paying attention to that this morning, but I does beg the question, Stu, with all the emphasis that we're bringing to the weather, and rightly so, is this a record breaker by any stretch?
It's not the cold, Pam. It's just the wind chill, you know.
I do know that. We've lived with that, should be used to that, but are we any place in Wisconsin like getting close to records or anything that?
I'm looking at record lows for today. And almost everywhere they're a lot colder. I mean, Green Bay's record is 36 below. La Crosse's record today is 42 below.
Oh, wow.
Even Milwaukee's record is 23 below. There's an interesting fact, Pam. Most of those record temps for today date back to 1888.
Oh, wow. That's a little something. That is a little something. That's quite a distance between here and there. And I'm glad that we're not close to any of those numbers, that's for sure. Hey, if you've got some interesting stories or observations on how you're making it through the weather, because I know a lot of these folks are in agriculture or out there using their hands, Talk Text Line is open. You can share. Send me a message. Send me a picture. Whatever you've got to try to help paint the picture. 877 877- 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. What are you doing or noticing about this sub-zero weather? And the good news, I'm hoping, Stu, is just tie a knot and hang on, right?
Yeah, that's it. I know what the cold weather does. Brings out our grumbling. We grumble about everything. What are you going to do about it? It's cold, cold, cold. The wind chill, the big factor. We have the extreme cold warning now in effect statewide until noon and up into north central Wisconsin. I saw near Wausau and north that a cold weather advisory kicks in again then later today into the day for tomorrow. So it is still very cold. The thermometer does not lie. It's below zero, and we're on the cold side. And add any breeze to that, and it gets very, very chilly. High pressure is off to our south. One front's off to our east over in lower Michigan. A warm front just to the west of the Dakotas today. There's our next change as that warm front begins to push in. The thing that happens, especially tonight, is we get a little cool right at sundown, as we expect. You know, the end of the day, you can tell, oh, the temperature's dropping. Man, it's going to do that this evening and then begin to rise. In fact, for a lot of us, we'll be up to above zero by tomorrow morning. But that also will happen with clouds and a little snow, maybe a few flurries or a brief snow shower developing anywhere tonight, lingering into the day tomorrow. Not even an inch of snow if we see that much. But with the snow, with the southwest winds leading in that warm front out to the west, our temps will be rising. Not quite to normal yet tomorrow, but getting a lot closer than we've been for a couple of days. So a little improvement. The cool front sweeps through. All that talk of precipitation ends Wednesday. And yes, sun returns for Thursday, a little cooler again. But then we begin to moderate Friday. And by the weekend, I'd expect we find our way back to above normal. There ought to be some sun around. Kind of looking forward to a sunny, somewhat more mild weekend. After this cold snap, we'll all be out in just a sweatshirt because it's going to feel like spring has sprung by the time we get back to normal and above normal temps in the weekend. We'll have those forecast details right after this.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal. Yeah, those are rascals you can put into fine use today. So let's talk about this forecast, too. I forgot to mention your brother from another mother. My husband, Buck, is up in Duluth this morning. Last night when he pulled in, I think he said his truck mentioned it was 27 below in Duluth. I'm hoping it starts for his meeting today.
Yeah, I'm sure it is that cold. You're making me look. I looked at my friends over at Brainerd. They're 25 below this morning. Not that far away in many places in Wisconsin either. But today we do have some sunshine and a cold day. Above zero in the south, you know, Milwaukee, Madison, maybe up to 2 or 3 degrees, struggling to break zero in the far northwest, and winds out of the west will be around 5 to 10. Wind chill still 20 and 30 below. That's why that extreme cold warning's in effect till noon today. Overnight, clouds develop, some flurries or a little light snow developing through the night. Temperatures drop, like I said early, but could find their way back to zero or even above late in the night. South winds increase a bit, 5 to 15, gusting to 25, and cloudy skies, some light snow on Wednesday, and a lot of us hit the upper teens and low 20s with that southwest wind, 5 to 15, gusting to 25, but that cool front slides through, snow ends, winds turn back to the northwest. At least Thursday, Pam, mostly sunny, maybe double digits in the far north, could be upper teens in the south with a northwest wind at 5 to 10, and like I say, by the weekend, if we see upper 20s and low 30s, it'll seem like spring.
Yeah, that's what I saw. Maybe 32 on Saturday. So freezing will be like a breath of fresh air.
Oh, yeah. It'll feel so much better.
All right, man. Well, take care of yourself today, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow and see if the improvement is noticeable.
Absolutely. We'll see you then.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. Stan telling me this morning that hydraulics on the farm not necessarily doing what they should. What's your story? 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hey, folks. This is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores. Apples and bananas, 10 to 53% more. And cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. And it's like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days.
Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump marked the first day of his second term with a blizzard of executive orders, but it was a pardon for every person charged on January 6th that made the most immediate impact. Asked about pardoning people who were charged with assaulting law enforcement on that day, the president told reporters,
"Been in jail for a long time already. I see murderers in this country get 2 years, 1 year, and maybe no time. So they've already been in jail for a long time. These people have been destroyed."
Other executive actions included declaring a national emergency at the southern border and ending birthright citizenship, but that's considered a constitutional guarantee. It's already prompted two lawsuits. A second straight day of dangerous winds expected in Southern California, prompting a second day of major fire warnings. For tens of millions more, it's dangerous cold. Snow in the south. Both major Houston airports closed today. And Ohio State beat Notre Dame to win college football's national championship 34-23. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwalbe. Well, you know it's a slow holiday weekend at the box office when a movie that was released 5 weeks ago is number one. Mufasa, The Lion King, has been ranked one or two since its release on December 20th. And this past weekend, the film brought in almost $12,000 to lead the way at the domestic box office. Mufasa barely edged out the number two film over the weekend, Sony Pictures' One of Them Days, which reviewed incredibly well and brought in $11.6 million last weekend. The comedy about two girls trying to make rent, starring Kiki Palmer and SZA, is a surprise hit. Wolfman finished in third place in its opening weekend with just under 11 million and mediocre reviews. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 actually moved up a spot from number 5 last week to finish in fourth with about $8.5 million, and it was Den of Thieves 2, which opened at number 1 last week but had a huge drop off and finished with about $6.5 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwalbe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks head to the Big Easy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are headed to New Orleans to play the Pelicans tomorrow night. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. Milwaukee's won 7 of the last 8 games. After a 4-game home stretch, they now head out with 5 of the next 6 games on the road. In college hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers play UCLA tonight in Los Angeles. Wisconsin now ranked 18th in the nation after beating USC over the weekend. Marquette has dropped in the AP Top 25 from 7th to 10th. Tonight they face Seton Hall. Head coach Shaka Smart on how to help Cameron Jones get going.
I need to spend some time with him and rub his temples because, you know, listen, this Cam Jones, man, this guy's out of this world. But he's also a human being. He's, you know, feeling a lot of pressure, I would imagine. He hasn't verbalized that, and he's been great in practice, and he's been an A-plus teammate. But, man, there's just a lot expected of him on his shoulders. And I think right now when he rises up from outside, he's feeling the weight of some of that.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with Sports On. Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some communities considering getting rid of fluoride. What would this mean for you? Brought to you by Big Cavity. We'll kick it around tomorrow. I hope you can join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be bitterly cold again today. Temperatures will hang in the single digits below zero here all day long, but things will get better. Temperatures are going to rise tonight. A little light snow overnight tonight, and then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with temps climbing back into the upper teens by tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 11 below.
Mino and the mayor.
He's negotiating with our paid sponsor here.
Not sorry. That is true. Sorry. I forgot you were a paid sponsor.
Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation. How are you, Kristen?
I am good. How are you guys
Excellent.
Doing?
Nice to see you.
I freaking love starting my mornings with you.
We love having you here. We really do.
Mino and the mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCL, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
And the mayor.
We're very pleased to have Nathan Olson here, Olson Legal Group, also the sponsor of our Veteran Salute.
Welcome. I want to start out with that whole thank you for your service, because we really mean that. And you hear that.
I appreciate that.
And it's really sincere. And some people say, well, it gets a little bit overused. What else are you going
to
say?
You know, I really don't know what to say when people say that, too.
Right.
Because there is a selfless service aspect to it, but...
But you appreciate it.
Yeah, you very much.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
When I watch the Super Bowl, I root for good commercials.
Well, the market seemed to be reacting favorably hours after the inauguration of Donald Trump in his second installment as president. We'll be talking about that with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He'll join us live this morning. He's also one of the guest speakers today at the UW Ag Outlook Forum happening on the UW-Madison campus. Now, if you still would like to lean in on that conversation, they do have a virtual element that would allow you to do that from the comfort of your home instead of battling the sub-zero weather that we've got out there. Just go to the Rank Agribusiness Institute website. You'll find some of the details there. We're focused in at the conference today on what agriculture is watching, hoping for, working with in the Trump administration 2.0. So that's really the focal point of the conversations today. Hope to see you there. This is the 21st day of January. What can I tell you? On this day in 1899, Opel manufactured its first automobile. Now, we may not hear a lot about Opels in the United States because, quite frankly, they're difficult to get into the United States, but they are still the world's largest car manufacturers, or one of them at least. Opel builds its first automobile on this day in 1899, and they're still around. On this day in 1911, 23 cars took part in the first Rally Monte Carlo. Now, unlike what happens today, at that time, competitors started from 11 different European locations, and the finish line only was in Monte Carlo. That's a little bit of a change. Started on this day back in 1911. On this day, 1976, the Concorde took off on its first scheduled flights. Two of the supersonic aircraft actually took off, one from Paris and one from London, at the very same time. The Concorde, on this day back in 1976. Happy birthday today to the Golden Bear, retired golfer Jack Nicklaus, 85 years young, and now you know. He's not 85. In fact, he just celebrated his 74th birthday. Tom Vilsack, now exited as the U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary of Agriculture. This was his second term. He had previously served in the Obama administration. He shared some thoughts with fellow farm broadcaster Rod Bain in Washington, D.C., as he got ready to head for the door.
If you have ever visited USDA headquarters in Washington, D.C., specifically the Witten Building patio, you will find in its first two stories painted portraits of all agriculture secretaries. That includes that of Tom Vilsack from his first term of service from 2009 to 2017. With a second four-year service as Agriculture Secretary now concluding, some might be surprised when he says a second portrait reflecting this latest time in office is not necessarily needed. The reason?
I like the way I look down there, and I know that if there were a second portrait, I'd look a lot older.
Beyond that, Secretary Vilsack reveals the focus of his initial portrait reflects not his first term, but of the various mission areas of the Agriculture Department and those serving in those missions.
If you look at that, you see just about a symbol of virtually every mission area of the department, and that was the purpose of it.
So, Secretary Vilsack, let's say a portrait from your second stint in office is produced. What should it reflect?
If I were to do a portrait, what I'd like for folks to appreciate is that there's a consistency in the work that was done while I was Secretary at USDA.
One example of this consistency, threads, as the Secretary describes them, is...
During the Obama administration, we did a lot in nutrition. We had the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act and Mrs. Obama's Let's Move initiative and focused on the My Plate, establishing a better icon for people to understand what a healthy foods plate looks like.
Threads that continued in the food and nutrition space at USDA FDA during the secretary's time in the Biden administration.
We took the next step in that process. We increased and improved the school meal rule by focusing on added sugars, making it healthier. We looked at the SNAP program and said we need to recalculate it based on what's happening in the world today. That resulted in a significant increase in SNAP benefits. We looked at the WIC program and said, you know, it's great, but it could be better. It could be modern. It could be providing online options. It could be encouraging more fruits and vegetable consumption. We looked at the opportunity for a meaningful summer feeding program by providing families a free and reduced lunch children additional financial assistance, so in those 3 months between when school ends and when school starts, kids will continue to get a good meal. And we know from research that that works.
While there is no indication this would be part of Tom Vilsack's potential second secretarial portrait, many might associate this latest time in office with his efforts to promote a circular economic model to agriculture and rural America, best reflected in what became known as the whiteboard. The message of value added among various new and expanded market opportunities for farmers, ranchers, and rural entrepreneurs became refined, more concise over the course of 3 years of presentation at various events across the farm and food spectrum. That came not just from repetition of presentation. Secretary Vilsack is quick to point to the feedback and guidance of wife Christy in formation of the message. For instance, in regards to the number of farms lost over the past four decades.
Turns out we've lost a heck of a lot of farms, 544,970 of them. So I'm telling my wife this. She said, well, that sounds like a lot of farms, but can you put it in the context of something that people understand? How many farmers is that? Like, is that the number of farmers that are in Iowa today? Then I start totaling up. How many states does it take to get to 544,000? Well, it turns out 10 states. People go, oh, well, this is something. Why is this? Now I've gotten people's attention.
In addition, as data has and continues to come in on USDA programs focused on expanding potential revenue sources, Secretary Vilsack says that provides presentations of success stories and, in turn, facilitates conversations on family farms about potential economic opportunities at the farm and rural community level.
With some of the new opportunities that are out there, if we're entrepreneurial, if we're thoughtful about this, we can generate enough income from different sources. We can make a go of it. Now we'll have to work hard, but we can make a go of it. Now you can have that opportunity to be on this farm and inherit the farm, and your kids can see the benefits of living here, and we'll be able to watch you and your kids grow up. Now, to me, that conversation is the one we want.
And he says promotion of a circular economy to benefit all of agriculture is a mission he expects to continue in the days and months to come.
Thanks, Rod. Rod Bain, who is one of our fellow farm broadcasters within the U.S. Department of Agriculture, talking with now former, again, U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. Markets coming up in a moment. John Heinberg just around the corner. And we're also going to chat a little bit about the 71st Wisconsin Outstanding Young Farmer Award winners. They were recognized over the weekend in Marshfield. That's next.
Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session. And don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Some special congratulations this morning to the competitors that were at the Wisconsin Outstanding Young Farmer Awards weekend this past weekend in Marshfield. Congratulations to Lindsay and Eric Bannock from Helenville, named the 2025 Wisconsin Outstanding Young Farmers. They're the 71st couple to hold that honor. Lindsay didn't know she wanted to be a full-time farmer until her senior year in college. She'd been working with her folks on their cash crop operation, also raising beef and produce in Helenville. Then she and Eric got their own 80 acres, and Lindsay decided to step up and become full-time manager of Jelly's Market. She's involved in the day-to-day operations, overseeing the planting and harvesting of their 40 acres of fresh produce. She also hires, trains, and supervises the 20 seasonal employees that Jelly's Market depends on. Eric and Lindsay Bannock from Helenville, named the 2025 Wisconsin Outstanding Young Farmers. Also, congratulations to Sam and Brittany Olson from Shatek, Speak Up for Agriculture winners. Adam and Marie Vanden Weimelberg from DePere. They were first runners-up. And Kyle and Janessa Olson from Shiocton, named the second runners-up. You can find more details on all of that at MidwestFarmReport.com. So the markets are just getting back into the groove after a three-day weekend. Dow Jones Industrial Average is up more than 190 points right now. March corn is up 3 at 487. December new crop unchanged, 456. March beans are up 18 at 1052. November new crop up almost a dime at 1037. March wheat, 7 cents stronger, 546. July new crop up 6 at 566. The February Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is a penny stronger at 2019. March, that's unchanged right now. 1994, 100 weight. He'll be one of the guest speakers today at the UW Ag Outlook Forum. Joining us next, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, giving us his perspective on what he heard in inauguration conversation yesterday and what the market's reacting to today. That's just around the corner.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health, but you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by author of The Meet the Parents Story, Laura Enright, and Meet the Parents creator, Greg Liana. Then herbalist Mason Hutchinson joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Farm, that's 877-301-3276. How are you handling these sub-zero elements? Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. Pam Yonke, along with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Before we get to John, I want to remind you, their website, totalfarmmarketing.com, real wealth of information there. And of course, if you want to talk to John, 800-334-9779. I've got to say, I was pleased when I came in this morning to see that the overnight trade was pretty positive, John, after inaugural Monday. There was actually a lot of rapid fire stories that were developing depending on what your eye was trained on. What is the inspiration that commodities seem to be working on this morning?
Well, I think we got some fuel in the market here from the soybean market on the overnight session, and some of that tied to possibly what happened with the inauguration and just the stance that President Trump was taking on tariffs yesterday. Didn't really say anything about China in terms of a definitive type of plan. Talked about 25% tariff on Canada and Mexico maybe by the 1st of February, so there's some time. I think the market maybe took a little breathe off of that. But really that soybean market, though, is kind of still focusing on South American weather with the strength last night, as we pushed almost 20 cents higher, a little over 20 cents higher in those front-end contracts. You know, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the dryness in Argentina, southern Brazil. You know, that still stays in the mindset of the market, but we saw some rains move through that area over the weekend. But now we're focusing on the harvest side of it. Mato Grosso is one of the number one producing state in Brazil in terms of grains. They have been staying on the wet side. Harvest is delayed. We're seeing some internet pictures out there now of, you know, beans sprouting in pods. But again, remember, those are isolated situations in a massive country. But the big thing is the beans aren't getting to the ports. So prices are in the increase to encourage that to occur. And we're seeing that spill over into the soybean market, at least on the overnight session. Now, get a little nervous when we get those overnight session moves, because a lot of times they disappear as we get into the day, and we'll see how things finish out there today. And I think that's just spilled over into the rest of the grains as well today.
Yeah. What did you take away from it yesterday, John? John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend here on the Midwest Farm Report. Anything in particular that caught your traders' ears during conversations or sideline conversations during the day on Monday?
You know, as things kind of went on during the course of the day, there wasn't anything really drastic that came out, at least in my mind or from what I'm seeing in terms of the, you know, the socials and the conversations that are out there in the internet and that side of it. So right now, the market, I think, is in a bit of a wait and see mentality. You know, where's his stance going to be? Like I said, it already sounded like he softened on tariffs a little bit in just his mindset yesterday. And I think we did put some premium into the market going into the inauguration, just on the pure fact that some of those policies could be inflationary, and those inflationary policies can, you know, lift commodity prices. So that's some of the reason I think we've seen some of the strength here, too, over the last couple of weeks as we prepare for January 20th. About the only market that's really kind of seeing some impact this morning is the crude oil market overall. So that's, we got some good selling pressure in that market today after a really good run, you know, challenging the highest price levels we've seen in months here last week. But just on the pure chatter and talk that he's going to roll back some of the restrictions that are out there, let's get American pumping oil, that type of a mindset. And so we are seeing some selling pressure in that oil market, which could again trickle into the commodity space. But that was probably the only area, at least in terms of the markets in general, where I've seen some kind of a reaction to what's come out over the last 24 hours.
So let's talk a little bit about this weather, because that also is something traders have to be talking about. You've been keeping an eye on the cattle contracts for quite a while, John. They softened a little bit. What about the weather now? We're complaining in Wisconsin, and this pales in comparison to what they're dealing with in some of the plain states.
Yeah, it's a lot of times in markets, especially livestock markets, when we start dealing with extremes in terms of weather, we can see some price movement on just a couple of reasons. Obviously, extreme cold, you know, a little bit different than we've had these events where we've had the massive snow, and then we've unfortunately had a lot of animal loss because of that snow. You know, cold, it's up kind of the producers just got to really buckle down and make sure the animals are taken care of the best they can in that weather. But a lot of times the market will see some strength based on just the movement or the lack of potential movement in terms of the product, you know, getting animals to the slaughter yard, getting them into the system. You know, obviously we don't want to do things of that nature. When you get extremes in terms of weather, it's difficult to do that. So you see markets maybe throw in some weather premium, even in cattle markets or hog markets, because of cold or heavy snow. So that's something we'll watch to see if this gets us a little bit of a bump, because obviously those northern plains are dealing with a much stronger level of cold than we are. And they've been dealing with it for a couple of days even before today.
Right. Yeah. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, remember that website, totalfarmmarketing.com, or their toll-free number, 800-334-9779. And we're going to see you later today at the UW Ag Outlook Forum. How many years in a row have you been one of their keynotes there, John?
Actually, I've kind of lost count here, but it's been at least a good handful of years, and enjoy the trip getting down to Madison. Always seems like we got some type of weather this year. It's nice and chilly for that drive.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody should be showing up, though. We're looking forward to it, and you're bringing along a passenger this year, huh?
Yeah, with schools being closed, my 13-year-old daughter wants to see how Dad does his thing, and she's coming with to enjoy the show today.
All right, beautiful. Well, we look forward to chatting with you a little bit later today. Safe travels, John, and thanks.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
John Heinberg joining us live this morning, Total Farm Marketing. He's in West Bend, but he's able to help you wherever you may be. Like I said, totalfarmmarketing.com, 800-334-9779, or tune in, either physically be with us on campus or make sure that you tune in virtually for the UW Ag Outlook Forum. That is coming up later this morning, starting at 9:30 with registration on the UW-Madison campus. The entire Midwest Farm Report crew will be there keeping you up to date. So do check our social media feeds as the afternoon unfolds. UW Ag Outlook Forum happening today. Stay warm.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The battle against opioid abuse in rural America, today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
I'm a fix-it-yourselfer, but I also know there are times when I'm in over my head. My wife has a saying, will anything bad happen? If the answer is even maybe, then call a professional. Too many farmers have gotten hurt or killed by trying to fix a problem themselves. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthshoreProductions.com. Since 2018, the Rural Communities Opioid Response Program, or ARCORP, has been whittling away at an opioid abuse problem in rural America. Megan Meacham heads Rural Strategic Initiatives at the Health Resources and Services Administration, which is part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. She says the opioid program is her department's biggest line item in the budget. But, adds Meacham, it seems to be working the problem.
Through ARCORP, over the past 7 years, we've heard so many stories of the individuals who have been able to re-enter society after incarceration and be connected with services so that they could sustain long-term recovery. We've heard stories of high school-aged children having their lives saved because our ARCORP grantees were able to put naloxone in the schools and respond to an overdose event. We have communities that are building out the wraparound services and supports that didn't exist prior to the ARCORP funding in their communities, and then just establishing new prevention, treatment, and recovery services where none previously existed as well.
Meacham says their work has impacted more than 2 million persons so far. You can learn more on the show info page at NorthshoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our friend Luke Mathers is in with another edition of What's Grinding His Gears, and we'll take a look at what's worse, grocery or clothes shopping. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks. are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he just drives, he's going...
Matinee on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Donald Trump's first executive actions included sweeping pardons and commutations for all of the more than 1,500 people who were charged in connection with the January 6th Capitol riot. ABC's Andrew Dimbert says this includes people who were convicted of assaulting police.
Among the pardoned, Julian Catter, sentenced for assaulting officers using chemical spray on Capitol Police officer Brian Sicknick. Sicknick would die one day after the riot after suffering two strokes. His brother saying the pardons are a betrayal of decency, calling President Trump a poor excuse of a man.
Other executive orders withdraw the U.S. from the World Health Organization and claim to end birthright citizenship, despite that being recognized as a constitutionally guaranteed right. South Louisiana and Texas under blizzard warnings for the first time ever, about 80% of the country under cold weather warnings. And Ohio State won college football's national championship 34-23 over Notre Dame. This is ABC News.